way this connection with wonder, before this ever came out, began was, for me, was this fall with a monarch butterfly. It was on King Street, and I was stopped at the light, and it came drifting across in October. And if you've ever watched monarch butterflies, they kind of fly. I wouldn't say fly, they kind of float like this. But then they also just turn up and put their wings up in a V for some reason, and then fall down or through the wind. And I just began wondering, sitting there at the stoplight, what's the difference between this and this? And how does it work? How does it help in the long journey that they make on very little energy? So I won't tell you what the answer is. I don't know. I just wondered and began to mess with it. And once, now a long time ago, I used to ask such questions on a regular basis. I was curious. I was a curious naturalist. I love messing around outdoors, and I wanted to know more. But I also just spent time wondering about the things around me. I went on to graduate school, and wonder more and more became channeled into research questions and research projects. I learned a lot. I learned ways to learn. What I learned opened up new worlds and new appreciation. It created new awareness. But when I stepped back a little, away from the pressure, and there was more wonder from what I'd learned and what I knew, but I had to step back to be in wonder. But it taught me little to nothing about hope and love and loss and joy. The big picture from Big Bang to human behavior never went far enough. I knew there was more. There was more mystery beyond my knowing and beyond my ability to know. That was a big moment for me to realize. Yet here I was, here I am, standing, living in the middle of it all, looking around. Should I be scared? You bet. At least a little bit, that's for sure. Being open to the formlessness of mystery is what? Disorienting. It can be very frightening. It is terrifying to be lost. How many of you have been lost? It is terrifying to be lost and not know where to turn or why to turn. So let's get oriented. This is where faith, religion comes in. What is meaningful? What can I carry with me? What can make me feel somewhat secure in and to wonder? It's hard to wonder when you're scared. Get oriented. We are a people of wonder. Our orientation invites curiosity, engagement with what is. We say there's good intent at the heart of the universe, a giftedness for everyone. There's truth, comfort, challenge, and joy. We are an oriented openness. Night before last, Todd Hoke was playing music at the Poe House. And I'd never been there before, but it's kind of a neat place. But it's very personal, and you're all around. And he said that there's a Unitarian Universalist minister in the audience. And he said, if you have questions, see him. And then he went off on a riff, as Todd can do, just about that. But yes, it's questions, but let's be clear. From a place of knowing, from an orientation. Once I thought it was just about questions and the freedom to question, but it's not. We're not lost. We know where we are. We're living in an inclusive universe. If there's a God, it's a loving God. There is no hell to be afraid of. We know that there are religious exemplars who tell us what it means to live well and how to live well in relation to that universe, that inclusive universe, and how to bring that into reality in our lives. We know how to practice being engaged and making those connections. We carry that with us all the time. We know where we are, and we're free to explore. We're actually encouraged to explore. So let's move to science versus religion. That's what I put on the sign. Let me just be clear about that. If you're concerned about whether you're a secular humanist or a religious humanist or pragmatist or a theist or all of this, that talking, that thinking, personally, is not worth a lot of my time. If they're at odds, it's a religion I'm not interested in, science and religion. It's not my orientation. It's a conversation I don't wonder about, except as it is important to you. Science and religion, in my life, me, I wonder. I move into it. It encourages me to wonder. I take my compass and I wander into something more. I go ahead. I'm open to it. I explore. I explore the wisdom traditions, the realities of experience, and the power and magic in December. And then you go, magic? He just used the word magic. But not as in magic versus science, but as in, whoa. That's special and real. Where did that come from? And do I sit with it and be with it as it happens? I want to move in a slightly different direction to something I discovered and that applies to this morning. If we have a religion, but let's don't, no religions, that's what he's saying, no religions. I agree. It's not about that box set of beliefs. It's about how do you orient in the mystery? What is your orientation? How does it work for you? But if you're working on images of truth and we're talking about wonder, we have to bring suffering and wonder together. We live in a world of both suffering and wonder. Forming a viable faith depends upon serious engagement with the truth of the world, the universe as it is, including things that should not be so. That's what Sharon Park says. A religion of true orientation must orient us both to wonder and suffering as well. Look the quilts in the eyes. The infinite complexity of the social and more than human world in the dimensions of both suffering and wonder is what we have to learn to apprehend something of the wholeness of life. The story of the Buddha is about what? Discovering suffering. Sharon Park says, the paradox is that as integral to life as suffering is, this is a wonderful phrase, it is matched by wonder. So it's not either or. It is matched by wonder. By wonder, I mean the awe and gratitude invoked in those moments when we come alive to the intricate luminosity, beauty, power, and vast grandeur of the universe, parenthetically, or some tiny part of it, and the amazement we feel that we are in any measure privileged to behold it. By wonder, I mean also the sense of mystery that cannot be exhausted, even by our most magnificent forms of knowing, including the awful ambiguity that arises from any reasonable assessment of the complex, dynamic, and confounding character of life. We have to be invited into both suffering and wonder, and we have to hold then the contradictions and dissonance that proliferate, she says, raising big questions and activating the imagination in its search for meaning and faith. She recalls how Joan Baez said, "I do not know whether it is worse to bring a child into this world and submit him or her to the disease we call society, or to refuse to bring a child into this world and thus rob him or her of one glorious red sunset." If we grasp both the suffering and wonder of our time, we may gain faith that can be sustained because it cannot be, in a certain sense, surprised. We won't be lost. A great faith skirts neither suffering nor wonder, rather, it holds them in a dynamic paradox. The quilt does that. This quilt does it and holds it in our space. And I thought about Ferguson and New York City and police violence, and one of my struggles with what was going on is that the value of the individual lives was not recognized fully. That people argued, well, they did wrong, or it was this or that. But the conversation should come back to these, our individual lives. What were we doing when we tapped the rocks? Looked people in the eyes. We looked them in the eyes. So what if we began a quilt of names of everybody who has been killed by excessive police violence? I'm not saying we'll do it, or you go, logistically, does it make sense, and how would you determine it, and yada, yada. But just wonder. Just wonder into that space and into that connection. And imagine that quilt that took you beyond the law and into the person. If we turn to 6:15 in our hymnals, we're going to be reading this on Christmas Eve, but it's the words by Howard Thurman. I hope I got that number right. The work of Christmas. And it goes, when the song of angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. You could say the work of December begins. To find the lost, even if that lost person is yourself, that's what I keep forgetting. To find the lost comes back to me. To heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the brothers, to make music in the heart. Imagine that. And wouldn't that be wonderful?